Luke chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 15. Father, we give you great thanks that you brought us here to hear this word from you. And so, Lord, I pray for your anointing to speak your heart to the hearts of your people. And Lord, we pray that it would not just be knowledge in our minds, but Lord, that it will be in our hearts and minds and will, Lord, to change and to be more like you. Help us, Lord, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 5, looking at verses 12 through 15. The title of this message is Just a Touch of Love. Just a Touch of Love. Now, there's nothing like a touch of love when you're down. A loving pat on the back to lift your spirit. Or when you have made a mistake, to have someone put their hands on you and say it's going to be all right. There's nothing like a touch of love when you've accomplished something great in your life. In our text, we're going to come across a group of people who were never touched. Everyone stayed away from them and they had to live alone. But let's see how Jesus handled these people, because the way Jesus handled them is the way we should handle people that are in a similar situation. Look what it says there in verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. Stop right there. Notice how Dr. Luke brings out that this man, not only did he have a patch of leprosy, but he was full of leprosy, meaning that his whole body, leprosy had begun to progress throughout his entire body. Luke, being a medical doctor, brings this out to us. Now, leprosy in this day was like AIDS is today. A person with leprosy would begin to take on a very gross appearance as the skin became hard and scaly, which eventually caused the nerve endings to go numb. Fingers and toes would disappear, because when the nerve endings go numb, you can bump your hand or stump your toe and you keep going. You didn't feel it. Next thing you know, you look, a toe is gone or finger is missing. In the middle stages of this disease, a person's nose would totally disappear. There will also be a very strong odor coming from the body of one who had leprosy. We're told that a leper could be smelled from 100 feet away. The rabbis felt very strongly that leprosy was a direct judgment from God. In fact, the word leprosy means smitten. And they felt that if you had leprosy, you were being judged by God. This idea probably came from Numbers chapter 12, when Miriam, the sister of Moses, was angry with him for marrying an Ethiopian woman. And she spoke against Moses and God smote her with leprosy. This shows us that we need to be very careful when we're criticizing and critiquing and judging God's leaders. There's a couple of reasons for this. Number one, God hears it. And then number two is that we will be smitten with leprosy, not physically, but something will begin to grow numb and dead in our lives, where the things of God will all of a sudden be numb to us. And we're wondering why we're not progressing in our walks with the Lord. We wonder why we're not growing anymore. You begin to hit the rewind button in your mind. It could be because you've been critiquing, criticizing, and speaking against some of God's leaders. This is why the Bible says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In the sense that when you begin to talk about and criticize God's leaders or God's people, guess what? You have now become a weapon formed against them. And the Bible says you won't prosper. You won't prosper in your walk with the Lord. There will be things in your life that begin to grow numb. You begin to grow numb to, dead towards the things of God. And you're wondering what is going on. Hit the rewind button. It could be the very reason why that you're growing numb is because you've been speaking against some of God's people and some of God's leaders, especially. God doesn't take too kindly to that. We see Miriam, Moses' sister, smitten with leprosy because she spoke against Moses. Be very careful when you think that you're big enough to speak against God's leaders. Just be careful. Be careful, because God doesn't take too kindly to that. Now, back to the whole leprosy thing, the rabbis in the Jesus's day, they had some strong things to say about those with leprosy. One rabbi wrote these words: I would not so much as buy an egg from a market that was on the street that a leper walked down. Another rabbi said, when I see lepers coming, I will throw rocks at them until they turn and run in the opposite direction. When a person contracted leprosy, they were forced to live in a colony with other lepers outside of the city. And whenever they came into the city, the law required them to cry out, unclean, unclean. The Talmud, which was a collection of Jewish traditions, forbade a Jew from coming closer than 6 feet to a leper. And if the wind was blowing, the limit was 150 feet. According to recent medical studies, Hansen's disease, which is what leprosy is called today, can be passed on to others when it is inhaled through the air. A good reason why the book of Leviticus required that lepers cover their mouths. Now, why did I go into such details about leprosy? Because leprosy is like sin in the Bible. Both begin underneath the surface. Sin, like leprosy, starts to make us numb and insensitive towards the things of God. Sin, like leprosy, is contagious, affecting not only the one who commits the sin, but those around us. This is why 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil or bad company corrupts good habits. You remember what happened to Achan in the book of Joshua chapter 7. God said that when you go, this first city, Jericho, is mine. Everything is mine. God was establishing a principle is that the first is to be his. And he said that all the things you take from the city is to be dedicated to me because it is the first city I'm going to give you. The first is going to be mine. And all of a sudden, it said that Achan saw some Babylonian garments, some designer clothes. He said, I just got to have it. A wedge of gold and some other things. And he took those things and stashed it in his tent, buried it in his tent. Nobody would know. And all of a sudden, when they went to the next city, Ai, they said, Joshua said, we just take a couple thousand men, go up there and take care of this little city. And all of a sudden, the men of Ai came out and started whooping up on the Israelites, chased them, killed 36 of them. And all of a sudden, they were like, oh, got on their face. Joshua's on his face. Oh, Lord, what's going on? God said, get up. Said, it's not time for praying. There's sin in the camp. And all of a sudden said, oh, okay. So they had all the tribes pass by. And God said, nope, that's not it. That's not it. That's the tribe right there. Then had all the families of that tribe pass by. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. Then you got the family of Achan. He said, Achan. Joshua said, Achan, give glory to God. God found you out. Well, what did you do, man? What'd you do? He said, man, I just said, I saw that garment. I just had to have it. I buried it in my tent. And all of a sudden they went and dug it up and said, you know what? You have troubled Israel. Now God is about to trouble you. And took him, his wife, and his children and rocked them to sleep. Stoned them. It shows that our sin not only affects us men, but it affects our families as well. Our families get affected. It's like leprosy begins to spread to other innocent parts of our bodies. And it begins to spread, and it begins to spread to other folks in our families. And sin, when it spreads, it begins to defile. And we need to do what this leper did when things are eating at us and making us numb towards the things of God. We need to do what this man did. We need to go to Jesus. Notice the second part of verse 12. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice that this is always the key to prayer. God's will. Not our will, but God's will. Not what we command and demand, but God's will. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Jesus said in Matthew 26:39, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus also said in John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me. And God's will is revealed to us in his word. So learn to pray according to the scriptures. This will assure you that you're praying according to his will. So this leper saw Jesus. He broke protocol because you remember whenever they came into the city, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. He broke protocol. He didn't care. He broke through the crowd and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Sometimes in getting to Jesus, you have to break through the crowd and not care what people are going to say about you. But you got to break through the crowd to get to Jesus. And this man, he never doubted Jesus's ability to make him clean. He only questioned his willingness to do so. The implication is that he was willing to remain a leper if that was God's will. So he never doubted his ability, but he questioned his willingness. And I suggest to you that like this leper, that there's none of us. I'm going to tell you right now, I never, ever question Jesus' ability to do the miraculous in my life. But sometimes I question his willingness to do it for me. And see, I guarantee you that there is many of you who struggle with this as well. If you can believe the very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let me tell you something. Should you have a problem with anything else the Bible has to say? Well, if you believe he created the heavens and the earth, then is it impossible for a great fish to swallow a man and barf him out and he tells about it? Is it an impossibility if he created the heaven and the earth for a man to walk on the water? Look at any of the miracles in the Bible. If you can believe the first verse, you shouldn't have a problem with anything else in the Word of God. So I never doubt his power, his ability, just his willingness to do it for me. So what did this man do? He came to Jesus. So what did Jesus do? Well, let's see what Jesus did. Look at verse 13. Then he put out his hand and touched him. Oh, boy, I tell you. Here's this person, disfigured, smelly, outcast to society. And Jesus touched him. This man probably didn't even remember the last time he was ever touched by anyone. But Jesus touched him. Now, how would we have dealt with this man? Would we have dealt with this man like the rabbis who threw stones every time he saw a leper to make them go in the opposite direction? You said, that's mean. No, I would never do that. Oh, no. If leprosy is like sin in the Bible, how many times have we all thrown stones at people in sin? Especially when pastors and Christian leaders fall. The phones are hot. Let some Christian leader fall and the phones are hot. Did you hear? Oh, I knew it was something about him anyway. And the phones are hot. You know why it's hot? Because we're a hot mess. And we take that gossip and we spread it around and we can't wait. We see it on the news. Girl, did you see on the news? Boy, I tell you. And we get our rocks and we throw our stones. We become critics. We become judgmental and we throw stones at folks in sin. Person at the job trying to live for the Lord, sharing Christ. And all of a sudden he stumbles and falls and trips up. And all of a sudden, he trying to tell us. And look at him. Hypocrite. And all this sort of mess. So it's easy for us to say, no, I would never throw stones. Oh, no. A stone is something that's hard and something that hurts. And how many times have we said some hurtful, harmful things to folks caught up in sin? And we become the biggest critic and we become the biggest, you know, and we begin to stretch our necks out because the Bible in the Old Testament called it stiff neck. We begin to stiffen our necks like, oh, I would never do those things. And we become just as cocky and arrogant and we become a mess. And we are no different. And I'm ashamed to say, I've done it too many times. I'm ashamed to say it. I've done it too many times. I've thrown stones at folks as if I'm, you know, without any fault. Really? And this is the very way we react sometimes. Or maybe you hear and you feel like this leper. You feel like this man with leprosy. You feel numb on the inside. You see your life is distorted and disfigured. You look at yourself and you're like, who am I? You're like, who am I now? What? You look at yourself, you're like, what have I become? You see, the leprosy of your sinful choices spreading to other areas of your life. And you all of a sudden you started sipping again on the bottle. Now you're looking at porn. Now you're chasing girls all over again. And you're just like, and you're saying to yourself, what have I become? And you're numb towards the Bible. You're numb towards church and church people. You don't want to be around any church people. Because they may point something out and you're like, well, and you're like, who am I? Now you find yourself hanging out with other lepers and leper communities of the bars and the clubs. And all of a sudden you're in chat rooms and you see that your life has become corrupted and defiled. Just know that Jesus is willing to touch you as well. If you come to him unashamed like this man did, if you come and you may have to push through the crowd of what people will say, because we're so often prone to do certain things based upon what people are going to say about us. And sometimes you have to push through the crowd like this man did. Forget protocol and push through the crowd to get to Jesus. Just like this man did. So what did Jesus say to this man? Listen to what he said to him. Look at the second part of verse 13. He touched him saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. It wasn't a gradual healing. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Notice he says, I am willing. These are some of the most precious words anyone can hear from Jesus outside of you are forgiven. Jesus is into making people whole. He is into touching people who are considered outcasts of society. The very people we turn up our spiritual noses at. Showing us that Jesus not only has the power to heal broken lives, but the willingness to do so as well. Look what happened in verse 14. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. He charged him to tell no one. I believe that this statement means, see that you tell no one before you go show yourself to the priest. I say this because if the word of his healing had gotten back to the religious leaders ahead of this man, they might have been reluctant to verify his cleansing. So this is what I believe that statement means. So Jesus touched this man and healed him. Do you know someone that needs to be touched? Is there a relationship that needs to be healed? All of a sudden because of leprosy in someone's life and you're like, oh. And now that relationship is broken and needs to be healed. Is it a teenage child that made a mistake? Is it a person at church sitting alone going through a hard time? Maybe what they need is just a touch of love. Yes, you see the symptoms or signs of leprosy in their lives, and yes, they may stink from their sin, and you see it disfiguring things around them. They don't need us constantly coming down on them. They can see the leprosy in their own lives. They may just need a touch of love. I say this because we're so quick to throw rocks and pick up stones to throw at people who are in sin when what they need is someone to touch them with the love of Jesus, to love them back into the arms of Jesus. Sometimes that's all they need and we're so quick to throw rocks at them and look at them and just, oh. I mean, this kind of stuff is ministering to me because there is someone that because of their lifestyle, I've been just kind of just long arm, and just kind of not wanting to deal with them because of the mess that's in their life, the leprosy all over them. And I'm like, oh. And so this has to filter through me as well. And I believe that there are some folks in your life as well that you've just been kind of, oh. And what they need is for us to just love them back into the arms of Jesus. So often when you become a Christian for some time and you don't want to get dirty anymore. You don't want to come near something that's going to defile you. So you just, oh, and oh, don't say that in my ears. And oh, oh, I can't look at such things. And we just become so, we become a mess. We were a hot mess. God saved us. Then we just become a mess. And we're like that. And because we feel because we're so clean, we got this white suit on. And all of a sudden, we don't want anything to defile it. And we do people like this. When Jesus touched folks. And there's somebody that's in our life that need to be loved back into the arms of Jesus. Look what he says there in verse 15. He says, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. The popularity of Jesus was growing tremendously. People coming out to hear him, but also to be healed of their diseases. And I believe that we will see great multitudes coming into our church and be healed of their disease of leprosy when they know that when they get near, they won't get rocks thrown at them. As soon as they come, we say, oh, you stink. Or fingers pointed at them saying, you have leprosy, get away. And I believe that we will see multitudes coming when they know that when they will get here, they will get a touch of love from Jesus through us. I believe that we will see multitudes. We will not have room. We won't be able to have enough service. We already had three services. We won't be able to go to enough services to the amount of people that will come in when they know when they get near, they won't have rocks thrown at them. Let me wrap it up with this. Because all of us know people in our lives with leprosy. Let us not be a church that throws stones at them, but love them. Touch them with a touch of love. You know, years ago, the Lord had to rebuke me for having this kind of mentality, throwing stones at certain people coming to our church. Now, I'm just confessing to you, I didn't mind those who were considered well-to-do. Have it all together, people come into our church. But as soon as someone comes with leprosy in their lives, I was like the rabbis throwing stones at them, telling them in my heart, stay away. And I had to repent before the Lord because the Lord rebuked me because my wife and I, we always said from the day we started the church, we said, Lord, we want you to bring here the people that you want to be here. So all of a sudden when he started doing that, I was like, whoa, okay, Lord, whoa. And when they started coming, I was like, oh, stop. Don't come in here with that mess and your baggage and your drama. And the Lord says, the reason why they got that mess and that drama, because they've never been taught before. I'm bringing them here so you can teach them. Teach them my ways, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book. Teach them all of my counsel. I'm like, yeah, Lord, but they a mess. And the Lord said, well, he said, well, so are you. And I'm like, and when I repented and the Lord began to really do a work in my heart and I was okay with the people that God was bringing. Let me tell you something. There were folks who had been here for many years who were not okay with who was coming to our church. And they had to leave. Now, you know me. I'm going to call them out on it. Yeah, I called them out on it. And when they say, oh, no, that's not the reason why, and when I called them out on it and said, no, I'm not going to let you get away with that. Then they admitted, yeah, it's because, you know, certain folks start coming, make us a little uncomfortable. I said, all right, God bless you. We'll miss you. Go on down the road. Amen. God bless you. And I was okay with that. Because I know that God wanted folks to come. That needed to be taught. And needed to be loved back into the arms of Jesus. And I was okay when you started coming. You know, you came through the doors a mess. And you know you did. And now the word, and you've been here for some time, the word has totally changed you. And I just smile when I see you now because you're just a different person. You're just a different person. And it's just great to see what the Lord is doing. But let me tell you something. I believe that there are multitudes of your friends and coworkers that, because you were a leper, you know other lepers. And they need to be loved back to the arms of Jesus. And they will come to the point where we won't have room for them. When they know that when they get in the parking lot, they're not met with us cocked back like this with rocks in our hand. That we'll drop the rocks and love them back into the arms of Jesus. Jesus is what they need. They don't need a religious show. The world can put on a better show than we can. They don't need a religious show. They don't need somebody up here, you know, hooping and hollering, doing craziness. They need someone that's going to teach them how to walk with this Jesus that's just healed them of their leprosy. And that's what we're here to do. And so put down your rocks and watch the multitude. I believe a great harvest of people are going to start pouring into our church when we put down our rocks and open up our arms to Jesus. The question is, are you going to be okay with that? Are you going to be willing to love them into the arms of Jesus? If so, let me tell you something. God will bring, we won't have room for them. We won't be able to go to enough services when we love them back into the arms of Jesus. A great multitude. You got to be willing. You got to be willing. Jesus was, so should we. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the things you shared with us. And Lord, we pray, help us to put down our rocks. Forgive us, Lord, for throwing rocks at those in sin. Have mercy upon us. Lord, there are those who are here with maybe a spot of leprosy. It hasn't started spreading yet. I pray that they will surrender that area to you. There are those who came here full of leprosy. They need to surrender their lives to you. I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, I just pray for many of us who have criticized and critiqued and judged your leaders. Oh Lord, forgive us. Have mercy upon us. Lord, draw us to you today. Lord, help us to have loving arms to love people back into your arms. Help us to love them with your love. Do a work in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.